again, everyone, and welcome to the Dog Show Drive with Wayne and Will. I am Wayne Cavanaugh.
And I'm Will Alexander.
The impresario that started it all. Yeah. We're going to talk today about the good old days. Are they now? Were they then? Or are they both the same? Positive's approach to the sport and more. Also, the passing of a great one, Gwen DeMilton. All that and more on the Dog Show Drive.
I'm born to run down rocky cliffs. Give me grace, bury my sins. Shattered glass and black holes can't hold me back from where I need to go. Oh, 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 oh.
Well, good morning, William Alexander, or should I say impresario?
Impresario. That was a dog I showed in 1987.
Yes, it was.
His name was McCammon Impresario. His call name was Baron. And my sister ended up calling him Beef because she called him Baron of Beef, which was a strip joint.
Well, you did hand strip him, didn't you, Will?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Well, I say impresario because it's a lovely article this month in the Canine Chronicle called Will Alexander, an Impresario, Started It All.
So now, it sounds like I'm an impresario.
It sounded like you started the sport is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Impresario started it all. It means the dog started it all for you.
Which is,
Well, so the good news is there's a beautiful picture of you with Miss P. Great picture.
Really Miss nice. P, that's the one that
won the, what the hell, what show was it? I think it was The Garden.
That show in New York.
Westminster. Westminster. 11 people say Westminster.
You choreographed this, but we didn't. It just happened.
It just happens, Doug. Love you, buddy. Anyway, a great picture of you and Miss P and some other cool pictures, too, of you showing a Doberman, I think that. Is that you?
A Doberman?
Maybe it's not you. It's a little person behind a big Doberman.
Oh, it's probably me. Let me hold it up. Let me see. Oh yeah, that's Junior Handling. That's Malcolm Fellows.
Is that right?
That's Malcolm Fellows, the judge. Yeah,
and he went on to win Best Show at Westminster, just like Miss P.
And if you look at that year, that was 1975. 40 years later, guess what happened?
Wow, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. It's a great article, and you mentioned Miss P. And you mentioned Monica and Allison and Jamie and Liam and George and all your famous friends and people who helped you. And I didn't even mention Sam McDonald. I don't see my name in here, Will. And this is a damn long article, too. And there's not one
driving somewhere. And
one mention. You talk about Emily, people I never heard of. Oh, yeah. This one, that one, Allison. Oh, yeah. All this. And not one Kavanaugh, not in the whole damn article, Will. So next week, I'm doing the show by myself. Hey, seriously, it's a really good article.
I've read it. Someone messaged me and said, oh, what a great article. I'm like, I forgot all about it because I did it while I was driving on transport and I forgot all about it.
So, Joan Harrington. Joan Harrigan, and she did a great job with it. Real good job.
Oh, good. I don't know. I better get a copy for my mom.
And Tom Amy did. Yeah, you better. Tom Amy did. Whoever did a great job with the layout, which is really nice. You have the one article in there, but I happen to have, let's see, two articles in this month. So I'm not saying who had more print or more pages. I'm just saying if you really wanted to measure the number of words.
We as guys, we don't do that measuring stuff.
No measuring. Especially in the winter. All right. That's it.
I was in the pool. This is a show, Jerry.
Oh, my God. That was so funny. Oh, man. We're losing it. Anyway. I think it's a shame how much... All these magazines have some really good articles in them.
Yeah.
And I just wonder if people just don't look at the ads and throw them away. I hope they read them. I do. And I know they'd read mine because I get great emails and stuff.
Oh, for sure. I don't know about everybody else, but I have stacks of them. And the ones that I wanted to keep, I just tear out, and I have an, like, it sounds pathetic, like I'm a dog show nerd, yeah, but I have a file of articles, yeah, I'd like reading. And
well, there should be some sort of, it's almost a shame that there's some good ones in there. And it's almost a shame that there's no place to go find them as a reference, because some of these, yeah, articles hold up really well over the years.
They're all in different, yeah, publications. Like I've got, right, some back in the day. I've got, when see, we have a new magazine. Well, it's not new, Canadian Dog Fanciers, but originally it was Canadian Dog Show Fanciers, was Nigel Aubrey Jones magazine.
Is that right? Wow.
And yeah, we had some great, well, you can imagine the articles As I See It by Nigel Aubrey Jones. They were amazing articles.
And Rick Brochamp with his magazine. And
oh, yeah. No, but Nigel's was great because he was friends with all those people. So we'd get articles from Andrew, from Dick, from all in that, yeah, magazine.
Yeah. And Beauchamp wrote for our magazine, my magazine back in the day. So I wrote for Dog News every week for years, yeah, on the big newspaper print. And
I used to love that part of it. You know,
but I did too. I think
our magazine, the Dog Show, CK Dogs in Canada, was a newspaper.
Yeah.
Years ago.
You know. Yeah. Well, Canon Chronicle was a newspaper.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I remember it came folded in the mailbox and usually couldn't read out of it. And now it's one of
the good old days.
Glossies. Yeah. But there is so many good things in there. If you just take the time to go through, you'll find them. And I know in our world, reading more than one page of memes is impossible for some folks, but turn the page and read that second, third one. They're pretty good.
Oh, but don't we have it? What are they saying? The average person has an attention span of what now?
And that, I think it is. Well,
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And, yeah, and like I catch myself doing it, Wayne. I'll be sitting there watching something on TV. I'll have something on my iPad and talking to somebody on the phone.
Guilty. Yeah.
You know, and I'm almost 60 years. Well, I'm 57 years old. You think I wouldn't be doing that part?
That's right. They didn't even have electricity when we were born.
Oh,
we talked about that last week, didn't we?
Not up here in Canada, anyway.
Did I ever tell you all when the hockey guys came down here to play for the K-Wings or wherever they were playing? Of course, they were young studs, and the girls would all be swooning for over them. And the boys would tell them, you know, they'd say, "What's it like to live in Canada?" And they'd say, "Oh, it's beautiful." But, you know, we have some beautiful igloos, not like you think. These are really nice igloos. And we take the sled dogs and we leave them. There's kennels at the border. And we put the sled dogs and we bring all our gear on the sleds and we park them at the border and we come down and play. And we drive back, of course, because we're in America. And then we get to the border, we hook up our sled team and go back to the igloo. And of course, a lot of the girls, wow, that's fascinating.
A very prominent handler, I won't say who they are, they one time asked me what it was like up in Canada. Do we have highways or are they just like trails? I said, yeah, they're just trails. And when I go to a dog show, I have to blaze the trail to make it back home again.
Well, I don't know.
I tell you off air who it was, you'll totally get it.
Of course I will. But you know, there is a very remote part of Canada where no one should go without being very, very prepared. There also is the same places in America where it's desolate and rough and cold. Yeah, we're on the same parallel, I think, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm in southern Michigan. I'm not in northern Michigan. You know, you can be in Michigan and be way higher than Canada.
Yeah, and for Ontario, I'm almost in the banana belt. Even though we're having a freezing rainstorm right now, I'm almost in the banana. If I go 20 minutes southeast, I'm in the banana belt of Ontario, which we call the Niagara region.
So. Listen, I don't care what you wear when you go south, but please with the banana belt, right? You want to just... your fashion sense is your fashion sense. If you want to go on a boat, that's fine.
But if you want to see how our weather is here, compare our environment compared to the West Coast. This week, I interviewed David Jinyak, who's from BC. I look like a pasty white Irish boy.
Yeah, I'll bet. I am a pasty white Irish boy. I looked in the mirror this morning. I thought, what's a nice shade of gray? And I meant my skin, not my hair.
My father used to wake up in the morning and he'd say, he'd look in the mirror and he'd say, "Uh-oh, better get Mako." Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
Uh-oh, better get Mako.
It's a muffler.
No, it's a auto body shop.
Auto body. Oh.
Oh, better get Mako.
Yeah, that was the ad. Oh, that's beautiful. That's a long time ago. My goodness. You know, we're talking earlier about, and we talk a lot about the good old days, and they were. I really believe they were. The shows
were. Yeah.
The whole environment was, we had the giant benefactors and a lot of breeders and exhibitors that have, you know, tremendous long lines of great dogs. But when you sit back and look at it now, it's different. But these are the good old days too. We now have a pack of young handlers as they're different. But, you know, the groups that I apprenticed for and hung out with, of course, was, you know, Forsyth and Trainer and Ted Young and Peter Green and Bobby Fowler. And, you know, I'm missing a million of them, but it was the Middle Eastern seaboard. And they were just buddies and they helped each other and they made each other better and they traveled together. We have that today.
We do.
That East Coast crowd that I know of course. There's another crowd in the West. There's one in the Midwest for sure. But each area of the country has it. And it's so refreshing to see these whippersnappers who really have, they help each other. They're happy when each other wins. You know, it's competitive, but after the judge points, they're happy for each other. And they are.
And they set up together and they... And I'm sure they get to hear each other bitch for a few minutes when the other dog wins or they lose. But overall, they go to dinner. They do all those things.
It's so cool. It is so cool. They're very talented at their craft. In fact, they may be too talented at their craft.
Well, I've always said, I think each generation, like we look back, I think back on George and those are my heroes, I know. And but then each generation really got exponentially better. They really did. You still have those images in your head of your heroes.
Yes.
But you think about, like, I used to love watching George show the dogs. Then when you saw Elliot show the dogs, it was, and each generation, it was like, whoa, something new, you know, something.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've gotten so, so good at their craft now.
They have, and they're almost to the point where, and I'm not taking anything away from them, they are so gifted at coat work and trimming and grooming. Maybe it's too much for old people like me, but it sure is pretty.
Well, and you can, like, I'm privy to a couple of the most more prominent ones.
You're the impresario who started all.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I'm going to get in trouble with this. Anyway, I'm privy to, like, because Adam and Katie are like family to me. So I get to see this. I get to see the evolution of all these dogs. And it's amazing how they change dogs into athletes. They really do.
Yeah. Like
they get this raw dog. And 6 months later, you really don't recognize it because they've got it in muscle tone, they've got it in coat, they've got it trained. It's an art.
It is amazing.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of good ones out there. And people say, well, you know, I can't beat them. Well, train, trim, condition, and you can, and they do, of course. But they're so good at
it. At that level to be competitive with them consistently.
Yeah. And the way I'd rather look at it is, it's great for people who are new or don't do it professionally because they have a goal. You know, they can look and see how to, and by the way, that whole group, I know at least the groups that I know, and there's several of them, they're glad to help you.
Oh, for sure.
If you're really interested and you know what you're, you know, and you have your heart in the right place, they're more than willing to help you.
Yeah. Well, and they help each other. Like, it's incredible. Like, yeah. I'll be there and the whole crew, because then that crew, you got Katie and Megan and Adam and Pete, and they help each other with their ideas. And you know,
it's so cool. It really is. Yeah, I think it's easy to sit back and look at the small entries and too many shows and all the other crap that's going on. But if you look for the roses, I mean, they're there. You know, they're there. We just have to stop fault judging the sport, fault judging people, fault judging dogs. and we'll have a much brighter outlook on the world, because it really is an excellent sport and with some great people. You just have to get your mind in your brain in the right set of positivity when you go in there and look for it, because it sure is there.
It's interesting because, like, we all see these dogs and these owners that we think, oh my God, look at that dog. And if only they did this, this, and this. Well, then you can see in their evolution of that dog's career where they did do this, this, and this. And that's because someone's helping them. Someone's taught them, or they've self-taught themselves by watching these people. And
that's important. And they really do watch each other. And you have to, it's not like you wake up and you walk into the sport and then you just go to some night class and then you're in, you know. You've got to take the time to really watch. And it's not just watching, it's understanding how to see, you know, understanding what you're looking at. I think it's amazing. Now, to me, they're all a bit too theatric.
It does work. And I kind of think, as much as I find it too much sometimes too, it's like to keep up with the Joneses.
You got to get a little more than the next guy. And are we evolutionarily at the point where, I just don't want to see awards being given simply on that.
Yeah, I'm going to stop. If they start cartwheeling down a back, I'm going to stop.
I'm going to call it. Do you remember when, I don't know how you do weddings up there in your igloos, but do you just share a seal? Is that how it works? Well,
yeah. Anyway, well.
In the lower 48, at the weddings, you introduce the people that work up there. What do they call the group, bride and groom, the workers up there? They're not workers; they're friends, I guess.
The ushers and the
bride. The best man and the best woman. Why isn't it the best man and the best woman? Why is it the best man and then she gets to be something like the bride?
Maid of honor.
Well, who wants to be a maid when you can be the best man?
Exactly.
That's bad language. You need to sort that out. Anyway, they come in pairs, right? And you got the
nothing to do with the impresario.
you got the guy, and you got the man and the woman, and they walk in as pairs, and they say introducing, and then the next last pair is the mother, whatever they are, the husband and wife thing, the bride and the groom. Yeah. So they come, and now they can, see. I'm going to tie this back. Well, just give me a chance.
I'm waiting.
They come into the room. You have to have a route. It used to be they walked in, they're in the back room, and you say, and now Will Alexander and Emily Fitchingfocker, the best, whatever, the usher and the girl, it's also up there. And they come walking in, and they go up there, and they sit up front because they get the food first up front. And then they keep going in pairs like that. They just used to walk in, Will, is what they did. They walked in. Now you have to have a routine. And I got to tell you, some of them are pretty good. At both of our kids' weddings, the routines, the people coming up the aisle and doing their flips and cartwheels, extraordinary. So that's where I'm going with this, Will. Pretty soon, the handlers are going to be doing flips and cartwheels and imitating plays and action figures as they're going down and back. That was a stretch, wasn't it, Will? Was that a stretch?
I like that idea, but yeah. I think it'd be more opt to hire. They should hire someone like Bob Cole or Danny Yellen. In that left wing tonight, we're representing your ushers. We have Wayne Kavanaugh, Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Oh, Canada. A walk-up song. That's what we need. Walk-up song. Now that would be odd. You know, walk-up. You have baseball up there. It's a little round thing and a sticky.
We had the Blue Jays.
That's right. I went to one of their games once. Me and three other people. Anyway, it was fun. But in baseball, Will, when you walk up to the plate, you have a song. Yeah. And mine was always "I Walk Alone" when I played for the Yankees. You probably remember that. It was after the Red Wings. So when you walk up, to the plate. They're playing I Walk Alone. I Walk, you know, I don't know, the Lonely Streets of this Boulevard or whatever. Boulevard Dreams. That's what
Dream
I want.
Day. Yeah.
So I think we should have something like that for every dog, right? In the group, when they are being examined, instead of this, he likes to eat cheese balls and he plays with his stuffed toy Frankie and his mother loves him and knits him a hat. That's what we get now, right? Instead of that, how about we hear over the speakers, the television, or wherever you're listening to this stuff, how about we hear a song that goes with that dog? I think that would be wonderful.
Well, we do get at top 20 events, they quite often have that.
God, scary. That's a reality, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Man, what would you dance to, Will? What would you do with Empresario? What would the Empresario do with Empresario? What song would you dance to?
Well, I don't know. I have to think about it. Probably, it might be something from Green Day. I like Green Day.
I would pay to see that.
World, though, like I would, like I'm Beatles, Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
Green Day is still a new band to me.
Yeah, I understand. Oh, unfortunately, I understand. They're probably all dead by now. They're probably in retirement home. That's terrible. I do keep up with with old music. That's about it. No, I just, yeah, never mind. Anyway, but a walk-up song would be wonderful. What do you think about how it's going to go next? Do you think it'll... Like some things get reeled in and there's less fear and it peels back. Do you think it keeps going one up, one up, one up until it gets that crazy?
You mean the next generation of the... Well, I honestly, this is my thoughts on it, the Impresario thoughts. Because you look at now, handlers are starting out much younger, which means they're not apprenticing as much.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it's going to go this next level because let's face it, you look at the other bunch, they apprenticed, even though they seem young, they apprenticed for a long time. Like Adam was with me at 14, you know? Yeah. I don't know. You see these other kids, these new kids are hanging out their shingles at 20, you know?
Yep. Have a van and a leash and you're...
Yep. Away they go. Facebook, so how much did they learn in the 6 months they worked for whoever?
Yeah, you know, the other difference is a lot of those handlers, when I worked Forsyth, we whelped a smooth fox terrier litter every minute, it seemed like, the Farrells. We were breeding dogs and involved in that process. I'm not saying we were the ones who made any selections. But, you know, that whole concept of having a kennel where dogs are being bred and you're looking at breeding stock and puppies and sire selection and watching these people do that, that's a strand of knowledge that's missing if you don't work at a kennel that has that.
And I do think those days are probably far and few between because even the big handlers, they're on the road so much now, they don't have time to run people's breeding programs.
Boy, that's a good point, Will. When you're on the road 300 days a year, how are you going to help breed? That's a really good point. Because back in the old days, of course, these guys came over from Wales and Scotland and England and were kennel managers. And they did the whole thing. The wealthy barons would just say, I want to be great at whatever. I love English setters. And, go find some and you pick them out and you breed them and you pick the ones you want to show. So there's a whole different tilt towards breeding stock instead of show stock. It's interesting. We'll see how that goes. Either way, it's the sport. It changes, like it or not.
Yeah, no question.
Like, you don't think there's support? They were complaining about it in 42. Yeah. George Ward wrote some blistering articles complaining about exaggerations and stuff back in the 70s, and he was right. But we all have to adjust. And
it's the new dance. Everybody's got to keep up with the new dance, you know?
It's true. But I get a little shrapnel, so I can't do a dance.
I was going through the metal detector at some airport, and I completely forgot about my hip. And I'm going through them, and the guy, he's going off. And I'm like, I'm taking more stuff off. And it keeps going off. The guy behind me tapped me on the shoulder. Do you have a metal hip? Oh, yeah, I do. It never even dawned on me.
Do you have a letter?
Pardon me?
Do you need a letter? Do you have a letter to give them?
No.
Just tell them you have a metal hip?
Yeah, and then they go and they check out, and that's where the buzzing goes off. It was Allison's birthday yesterday. Allison Alexander.
Happy birthday, Allison Alexander. Yeah.
And we were talking about, you know, age and whatnot. I was saying how she was catching up to me and blah, blah, blah. And she said, I'll be in the lead again in a few weeks. But I said, I still feel like a kid most of the time. So like when this old guy tapped me on the shoulder and said that to me, I was almost offended because I say old guy, he was probably in my class.
You know what drives Cheryl? Cheryl just hates it when I say he's a nice kid. I got to send the K-1 into that kid at my financial advisor's office. He's a kid. He's 35 years old. He has a family. Exactly. He's a kid.
And I get caught on that all the time, too. You know? Oh, what a nice young girl. Oh, yeah. She's not young. She's 40 years old. You know?
Anybody that's younger than me by 6 months is a kid. That's all there is to it. Hey, I was called a kid for 50 years. It's time, you know?
And I hate this.
You probably still are.
George still calls me kid. So.
Exactly. It's all relative. I'll be a kid as long as you want to call me one. I think that's wonderful. Hey, I've got a great day today, Will. I get to go get my teeth fixed, Will. I get to go to the dentist. Oh. Isn't that fun?
I did that yesterday. I think we are in tune. I think why the universe has put us together because
there's
this
no
is
doubt. How. There's no doubt. Not in print, but other than that, yes.
Oh, geez, I gotta call Tom. I have to do the article all over again. I'll call it Kavanaugh.
Anyway, but it's so much fun. I love going in there and spending thousands of dollars. You know, it's so much fun. You get to, you know, they get to torture you for this is a 2-hour one I have today. 2 hours.
Well, I took Liam yesterday with me. We both had appointments and. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's so much fun. And, you know, and there are people, you know, who work on their dog's teeth. And every time I go to a dentist, I think about how sad that is that we still have a lot of that going on. You can't tell if you're a judge, bite looks good. It looks good. Right?
Yeah, nothing you can do about it as a judge, unless you can see the surgery or whatever, you can tell. But yeah. How can you still can't prove it. You've got to judge what's in front of you. You know, it's all you can do.
Hard
call.
By the way, anybody ever flip over an old English and check for a spay scar on a class bitch?
No.
You know, it just crossed my mind now.
Know, right? Yeah. So you can tell in setters because their coat changes.
Yeah.
But
someone described the setter color to me yesterday as terracotta. This is a dog who was orange, like I hate, you know, right?
Yeah.
Terracotta. And I thought, yeah, when you find a nice, deep, deep, beautiful, that gorgeous mahogany, that deep, dark, oh, it's so pretty. We don't see it much, though.
I'll tell you, I was at the combine 1 year and I had these two girls working for me and we had a break and they said, let's go watch our setters so you can describe things for us. And I said, sure. A class of three came in, two terracottas and a mahogany or dark brown one. I said, right away, there's only one out there. I said, that one gets to win. And it was a nice dog. Everything was good. It went 3-3.
Jeez, wrong color. Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I don't know. The things that...
I have photographs of Mr. Eldridge's farm when I was a kid, about 10 years old. And there is no terracotta Irish setters on that farm, except for old Queen Mab, who's old and spayed.
Who laid in the sun for 16 years. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. It is interesting. Certain breeds are getting to be colors that they weren't not just too many years ago. You know, we see... And pointers now, you test for hearing. You do bear tests because they're breeding them so solid white that I guess that's the reason, right? We never had to do it back when we had lots of markings. But different times, different tricks and different things. And speaking of pointers, next week after, I get to go down to the Pointer National and watch Steve Herman, one of my favorites, do his thing as an adjudicator. And Brody and I are going to get down together. And, you know,
that'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. This is my son, our son, Brody. Not Will and I, my wife. No. And I. Just want to get that on the record. Anyway, not there's anything wrong with that. But we're really looking forward to it. I'm flying to Atlanta. He's going to pick me up. We're going to drive down to Perry from Atlanta, and then I'm going to drive back with him. He picks up.
I love Perry. I love that area too.
It's a great show site, and we're going to. I wish I had time to bring the motorhome down and spend a week, but anyway, we're going. I've been thinking about this, and I just hope that he's.
How much would it cost to drive the motorhome from Kalamazoo to Perry?
Yeah, when you people ask me that, when you pay for what you pay for a motorhome, you don't even care what the gas. You can't care. You can't think about it. You just do it. You know?
Oh my God!
It's just like fueling up a jet. Anyway. You know, he grew up in the sport, of course, and he had no choice to be born into it. But he had other things. He played hockey for a long, long time. Yeah. So he didn't go to shows for 15, 20 years when he was playing every weekend. And so he has so much knowledge, but he's really going to be new at presenting his own dog. He's shown dogs before. He's, you know, shown dogs for me and beaten me. But he's going to be on his own doing this without mom and dad's help. He's in Maryland and he'll be going to shows alone, and he's got his little crate, his little puppy, and he's ready to go. He's asking me questions about filling out entry forms, and he's teaching me about futurities and maturities. We just have sweepstakes. It was easy. Now we got all these things, and he's asking all these good questions. I just hope that when he walks into the ring for the first time, then he gets to a show for the first time, that he meets the kind of sport that I met, the kind of sport where people are supportive, people are kind, that people are positive. You get someone like this who has the background and the skill and the knowledge, really restarting on his own. And you just hope that he's received in for his own self and as a new person to the sport. I like to hope we have that kind of sport.
Well, it's like anything else in the world. I hate to say it. Because he is Brody Kavanaugh, and there's going to be some people that are going to, you know, look to him, to his father or to his mom and dad. But that's okay. He'll still have to find himself, because that gets you so far, you know?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't even tell people his last name.
Yeah. Well, they're going to find it. And let's face it. Some of them are going to know him that he won't know. He won't know these people. They're going to know him.
Oh, sure. I mean, people remember him from, you know, when he was coming to shows with us when he could. And he grew up, I mean, some of them are uncles to him, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it was a great time growing up. Of course, they wouldn't recognize him. He's just like your son. They're both a little taller than us, but just a little. But it'll be fun for him to go. He's going to start going to handling classes. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen there? I remember what handling classes were like when I went.
I sent him my handling webinar.
Yes, and he was so moved by that, Will. He really was. It wasn't just, hey, great to get. It was, wow, that's really super nice of him. He was very touched by that, so thank you. But he's got a lot to learn, and it'll be fun for him.
It'll be a refresher more than anything else. I'm sure he knows most of it. It'll be a refresher reminding him of what he knows.
Yeah. So. And even if I went, I haven't been in the ring for a long time showing a dog. Even if I went back
I'll send it to you as well if you want.
Pardon me?
I'll send it to you as well.
Yeah, please do.
It's called Impresario.
There you go. Can I get a little pin that says Impresario understudy or something like that? Student? I love showing certain breeds, and I would love to go in there with a pointer again. It wouldn't be his. He's not letting me near his.
Yeah, exactly.
But I really enjoyed it, and I had fun, and I had my own style, and it was nothing like they're showing them today, all jacked up and stretched out like Irish setters. And it was just a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it, and I hope he gets that chance. We'll see what his style ends up being. He's a different shape and make than we are, so he's going to have to find his own style.
Oh, for sure.
It'll be fun. And we're going down there, and then there's some shows in July that he figured out the age. By the way, he asked me a really good question yesterday. Being in this all his life, right, being around, filling out papers, he said, how do I know how old my dog is? Do they count it in days or the day of the month it was born? And it never crossed my mind. That's just always been the way it was, right? If you're born on April 15th, 4 months later, you're on the 15th of whatever month that is, you're 4 months and you know, you're 5 months. So it's in horses, every racehorse, they're born January 1st. They all have the same birthday. Doesn't matter when you're born, you're listed as January 1st.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. For that reason, you want to fool them into estrus so that they fall right around there. Because you want them to be as old as possible within that year, if that makes sense. It's like a hockey player that's born in December when they're playing against 13 and 14 year olds rather than February.
And it just changes their draft year.
Yeah, too. Yeah. But in dogs, of course, we're calendar month and that works out. But and then we're going to go to the Irish Wolf. At least I'm going to go to the Irish Wolfhound National because I don't want to ever miss that. If you haven't been to one, Will, I'm telling you, probably haven't. Not many people.
I haven't. Not down there. I've seen it up here.
It's still, yeah, it's unbelievable.
I just love them all lying at ringside.
That's the best part, right? two or 300 Irish Wolfhounds
lying at ringside.
Not a crate to be seen. What would you do with a crate, right?
Everybody's in sandals and they're driving. Yeah. Wolfhounds laying
it's
around.
The best. It's the best. I mean, it's just so special. I just love it. I just absolutely love it. And the thunderous sound when they come in the ring together. You know, yeah. 25 open dogs come in the ring together, take them around. Oh, man, you can hear it pounding.
I don't know if I ever told you a story. I did show Wolfhounds for Judy Ryan up here in Canada. Yeah. And she invited me to her house one day to look at dogs. And she had this beautiful, big old stone house. And it was basically in the woods.
Yeah.
And she had Wolfhounds and she had something else. I think she had a Pharaoh Hounds. But I was there to look at the Wolfhounds. And first we went into the house. In a beautiful old stone house. And I'm like, there's no dogs in here. And she went, and all of a sudden these heads pop up, right? And there's like four in the kitchen that were in their own corner sleeping.
Wow.
And they didn't hear, it was like Jurassic Park. But these little heads pop. And then we go outside to look at this dogs outside. And I said, where are they? Oh, she says they're in the woods. And she rang a bell or a whistle, I forget. And a herd of, it was scary almost, come flying up to the house.
Yep. And they don't stop well. It's like me skating. They don't stop well.
It was incredible to see. It was really incredible. Because that was basically their environment. They were out wandering together in a pack of like four or five, wandering around. And but when you heard them coming through the brush, coming towards you, it was kind of frightening.
Yes. When we had the big place with the long driveway and the gate, trucks with delivery guys or whatever would pull up and they'd have to wait for me to open the gate. And we never electrified the gate because I had to make sure that I opened the gate because I had to keep the dogs at bay. And some of them, when they saw the wolfhound coming down, they just wouldn't get out of their truck at all. There was a guy who wouldn't even come past the gate in his truck. I said, you're in your truck. I'm not going in there. Nope, not going in there.
Well, down there, do you have the seafood salesmen that pull up in the trucks?
Yeah. You have to order ahead, but
Well, we used to have these guys. They would wander the rural areas and they'd pull up to your property and see if you were cool. Seafood. And when I was working for the Bouvier Kennel, Abishara Kennels in Paris, Ontario, I had this one dog named Wheeler that was my buddy, and he just wandered around with me as I did work. Oh. And I remember this day, the seafood salesman pulled in, and Wheeler was a Shih Tzu trained dog, but he was so smart and so loving. But for some reason, he took a offense to this truck pulling on the property, and he just started circling this truck, and the poor guy, he rolled the window down.
Yes, of course.
Do you want to buy any seafood? I said, I don't know, ask him, see if you want to buy any seafood. And he said, okay. No,
we used to have the Dugan man who would come around with donuts and bread and milk. Maybe that was the milkman was separate, but we had the Dugan man who had all the baked goods. And I remember being fascinated as a young kid, because I learned about gravity and weight distribution. He had a whole cart of all these baked goods in one hand, and he would always tilt and the other arm would be up in the air. And I realized, that's when I first realized balance is pretty cool. carrying one thing in one hand. I was like,
I've never
three
heard
going.
Of the Dugan man before. That's interesting.
I'm like three going, Dad, do you have any Da Vinci paintings? I want to really figure that out, how that works, that old balance thing.
Oh, Dad, Da Vinci, yeah.
Hey, it was my house, baby. I'm learning to learn everything I can learn. I still do. You look at Da Vinci's sketches, and there is a lot about balance in them.
Oh, for sure there is. Yeah, I know.
But anyway, other than that, life's a cabaret. And then after that, I don't know where I'm going. Oh, I'm judging in Fort St. Clair. Hey, they're going to have a special competition. Brody called me, and what they do now for these 4 to 6 month puppy competitions is there's two separate dog show numbers, two event numbers. So you might, if you're flying through and you go to Fort St. Clair, but you pick the wrong day or the wrong show, even though it's the same show, the puppy stuff, you'll see that I'm doing all the groups in Best in Show and all the breeds. And Brody's like, Dad, you can't, what are you doing, a non-sporting group? I'm like, no, it's the puppies. It's the 4 to 6 puppies, but it looks like a separate show.
Sure, yeah.
But it's so much fun. I love those puppy things. And you just see some beautiful ones. And it's fun. I think it's a great event that AKC added for puppies. And, you know, it's always fun. It's not cutthroat competitive, but you see some really nice puppies. And you see a lot of people just trying out the sport. You know, it's kind of like replace the match show.
Because they don't have time for matches anymore because all weekends are filled with dog shows.
Yep. That's a shame.
And then when I was a kid, our dog show stopped in December in Canada. It didn't start up again until March.
Yep.
So we had all the winter where it was all matches.
Oh,
and, yeah. Yep. And each, like the old, all the kennel clubs would have their match weekend or match day. And then we'd go to the matches. And back then, our matches, which I know didn't sound huge, but they'd be like 200, 300 dogs. Which
wow, that is big for a match. Yeah. It would have been big here for a match. Yeah.
And it was always a big, and it was funny because you'd start seeing handlers at these matches with strings of dogs, mm-hmm. getting their dogs ready for the real shows. You know?
Yep. It wasn't real popular at Gray Arlen, you know, when I worked for up in Connecticut for Bob and Jane. When there was a match show every, I think it was every other Tuesday night or something, or there was some day of the week that they always had these match shows. It was half hour from the kennel. And that's where we went. We took the dogs to train and get them used to stuff. And one liked to see us coming.
So it's a great training ground. It really is. You know?
Yeah.
Well, we don't get those anymore. That's why even Canada has the baby puppy classes now. And that's the replacement.
I know I harp on this all the time, but this too many dog shows has changed so many things. Like handlers learning how to work in a kennel, assistants learning how to work in a kennel, people spending time with their family, handlers not being on the road and unsafe driving conditions. It's changed the number of judges we have to have and how many groups they have to get hired. It has changed so many things.
You even think about the new people, because before, I remember when we first started in dogs, I was like 5 or 6, I guess, and we went to the matches first. That's where we,
absolutely
learned our. I remember we had a Doberman bitch named Velvet, and we hired, who's a great friend now, Brian Casey. He was our first handler. We hired him to show our dog at the match.
Did you really?
Because we wanted to watch and see how he showed this dog, because we were going to start showing the dogs, and that's. So you think about it, the new people have to go right into the fire now.
They do.
They go right into the fire and learn at the shows. Are going to cost them $30-odd to enter their dog. Back in the days, it was $2 to enter your dog to learn how to vote. You know, so it has changed a lot of things.
That was one of those picnic environments, and it was just fun for everybody. And I think it was more inviting. It was more inviting to get new people weren't as intimidated. Now,
it was a one day event. It was so much fun. We'd all get ready for it, pack a lunch, and away we'd go to the match. You know, progressive.
Always pack the lunch. You know, that was just great fun. And you're right, though. We're throwing them right into the fire now.
Yeah.
And we're throwing them to a fire where people who make a lot of money and have so much experience, they're competing against them right off the bat.
Yeah, that's nice.
Eventually, that's going to be okay. But boy, when you first start, yikes, you know.
Think about it. It's an expensive first venture. Because let's say you have to go to a dog show that's overnight, and you get your hotel, you got your food, and entry fees. It's not cheap now. Back in the day, we'd get in the station wagon and throw Velvet in the back seat and let's go to the match and see how it goes. Did you bring the bologna and cheese sandwiches?
Right, exactly. And I don't know. I think that is a big void in our sport. Yeah. And I think we're seeing it by people's comments. And I have to mention this. That one of those, you know, there's those dog show report card things where they're grading the judges.
Yeah.
This one guy, one person, I don't know if it's man or woman, is on there just tearing into this judge because he didn't understand the standard. And he told the judge after, you know, he said, "Why didn't my dog win?" And the judge told him something. He said, "Well, in the standard, it says this." And the judge was one of the most well-respected, competent, internationally renowned terrier people in the world. And this person who never cut his teeth on mat shows and all that stuff just came right into the fire and got beat, didn't understand why. He's never seen his dog in the ring. He doesn't know what his dog looks like against the other dogs. And he's going to stand up and complain about a judge that any terrier person would pay double to go enter under. I wonder if that background, that experience by throwing them right in there can set up a time of disappointment where they don't understand why and what's going on. They haven't seen the other end. They've only been in there getting beat right off the cuff. I don't know. It's why aren't we keeping and attracting new people to the sport? I don't know. You know, juniors, I hate to say it's the future because people say it sounds trite, but you know, without a lot of juniors coming into the sport, now they go a different path. They go juniors to van and business card. Some of them, not all of them, obviously, but,
there's still some great assistants that they've been around for a long time that are still learning their trade. And they're, Paul Catterson has an assistant named Sydney. I've known Sydney. She went when she worked for Carlos. She just work, you know, and she's going to get better and better and better each time.
Yeah. Yeah. So lots of learning to do out there. Lots of learning to do. What else you got, young William? Where are you going?
Show. Yeah, I have a dog show this weekend. I leave today. I leave today for Syracuse if the freezing rain lets up.
Yeah, you don't want to drive to Syracuse in that. Yeah.
No, but and I also have I have another assignment. I told you my in May I have my third assignment, which means I can, after I do that third permit, I can apply for the other part up here in Canada. But it's not as intensive as down there. It scares me thinking about down there. But
I showed you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a camera on this operation that you can't see. And I can show Will things. For example, my floor in my office right now, which has 12 piles of paper with stickers on them and paper clips, piles of things that I have to submit. And I need to go observe or apprentice under one more judge in one breed to get that one point to be smarter about that breed. Yeah, what am I going to do?
I don't know. It just baffles me. That brings up an important, this might be a question for the viewers or for the listeners.
Yeah.
We've been asked about putting the podcast onto YouTube.
Yeah.
So it becomes it becomes visual as well. So you get to see us in our house coats and whatnot. But what are your thoughts? If anybody has any thoughts, I know we both have a face for radio, but
do I have to comb my hair?
You know, I just put a cap on.
If you saw that, we are definitely going to have to start changing our clothes because no one wants to see this.
This is going to be part of the charm, though.
That's true.
Half the time, I'll have a t-shirt on right now and a cap. I might not be wearing pants for all you know.
That's right. Well, you know, when I worked for the BBC, we had to wear jackets and ties. We didn't have to wear pants.
I had a good friend that did security for The Godfather, and he used to say Marlon Brando showed up half-time. He had no pants on.
We promised to wear pants, ladies and gentlemen, and banana boats or whatever you're planning to wear.
the banana belt, Niagara area.
Okay. Well, in some sports, that's a different apparatus.
The only problem is if we move to YouTube, we won't be able to hold our notes up the way we do.
Yes, we will. I think we cannot change. We cannot change. When I hold a funny joke up to Will, when you see a gap, we're not saying anything and we're laughing like hyenas, it's because we're holding up pieces of paper to say something that we can't say on the air.
Or so, Brady, yeah,
you'll see all that.
Still hear Wayne talking, asking me
When all of a sudden Will takes off to go get a cup of coffee and I'm just running my mouth saying nothing in particular, that's when you'll see all that.
He'll say things like, "Oh, did you go to Brazil to get your beans?" Or
we'll have for a cup of coffee before. How's the traffic in Peru? Anyway, you can see all that and more. So let us know what you think. Now, I know a lot of people, it's the dog show drive. You don't want to watch it while you're driving.
No, of course not.
The intention was to get you down the road as you're driving to a show. But I think some people, sit home and watch it at night or whatever.
Yeah, and I did a bit of research. And if you looked at it, there's quite a few podcasts that are YouTube version. Yeah. I don't know how you guys will put up with Sean Connery and Robert Redford on your YouTube screen. But,
we have to get
makeup. And they're house goats.
Makeup? a house coat for us Americans is a bathrobe, as it will.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
Sure. Is that what it is?
It's a bad thing. Yeah, I'm sitting on the Chesterfield right now, too.
That's right.
Not a cigarette, the Chesterfield.
I was going to say, that's a difficult balancing act. Sitting on a Chesterfield. I hope at least it's a whole pack. Anyway, maybe we'll talk about doing that. And we're for sale. Let us know. If you have any ideas about that too. Let us know. Love to hear your comments and input and questions. Please send them in to the Dog Show Drive. We have one more thing to talk about, and we saved it for the end because it's so sad. We lost a real great in the sport. I mean, a great.
An icon.
Absolutely.
He is. You just bringing it up now gave me chills.
Just watching your shows. And we're talking about Gwen, and our hearts go out to Carissa and family and friends and all those who knew and loved her. I didn't know her as well as I would have liked to, but I watched her in the ring, and oh my.
Unbelievable. Talk about disappearing and just seeing the dog. Like, I look at, if we were on YouTube,
I got them too, Will. I got the goosebumps too.
And her daughter does the exact same.
Exactly. You don't see them, ladies and gentlemen.
Invisible. And the dog is just perfect every time. And they're so focused on both of them. It's.
They give the dogs, they both do it. Gwen was just unbelievable having dogs. Need to look at her. They wanted to look at her all the time. They want, what's next, Mom? What's next? What's next?
And they both have that such faith in their charges that they will let themselves disappear.
Yeah.
You see certain handlers that want to control every step or every move.
And their hands are falling.
No, these two, and it's a mother daughter thing. It's unbelievable.
It's beautiful to watch.
Outline, silhouettes, and no handler, basically. Yep. I didn't know Gwen as well as I'd like to. I obviously knew her because we show some of the same shows, and she was always the most gracious person with me. We talked about short hairs and Dobermans, and she talked to me about setters, and she was always just, it's really sad. It's
terribly sad, and I know she had a long battle.
And I never, I didn't see her much, but I never saw her when she didn't look happy, even when she was sick.
Yep. Not complaining. Not whining ever. And Chris and her had such a great relationship. And that's it's so special in the sport.
There's a picture that went on Facebook. I saw the two.
I saw it.
And it's sad. It's sad because of what happened. But the picture just fills you. You just want to two. You could see them. The love for each other.
There's some saying, I don't know if it's Snoopy or somebody that says something about if you didn't love somebody that much wouldn't hurt so bad. And, you know, yeah, you can see that love for the sport, for the dogs, for each other. And I think that's something we have to focus on, is the positive and the many greats. We talk about the greats like they're all gone. Gwen is no longer with us physically, but she sure is here in spirit. And her, well, her style.
Every time you see your daughter show dogs, you'll just.
And her style, I hope, will be in the rings for forever. Another loss in our sport, and hope someone can remember to look and watch and see all the things you could learn from just watching the great Gwen Moulton in the ring. Sad stuff. All right, Will, anything else, bud?
No, I have to get back to work and prepare myself for this trek through the weather, and I still have some more work to do. So,
you know, the last time I went to the dentist, it didn't work out well. And he's sort of a friend. I've known him for a while. I've been going to him forever. And he messed up. The thing that he was supposed to fit in there didn't fit in there. He's got to redo it. And I'm not happy about that, Will. So I bought a bag of Oreos. It's chocolate. And I'm going to start eating them right now. I'm going to eat them in the waiting room. I'm going to eat them all day. And I'm going to go in there and just schmoil with Oreos, and they can clean that up before they fix me, Will. That's what they can do.
And they won't charge you.
They won't charge. Yeah. probably get a pressure washer out of the basement. Yeah, I'll take care of that. Anyway, he's a very important guy in town. He has a lot of pull. Yeah. Oh, that's one for Dan Buckley. All right, buddy. Take us out, Will.
Oh, safe drive out there, guys. I'm sorry about all this. I just think if you have to watch it.
See you next week.
Party on, Bert.
No way.
Better be paying attention, Doc.
Give me grace. Bury my sins.
So Ernie can use this in the blooper reel.
That's right. We love you, Ernie.
Don't put that in, Ernie.
Yellow hills. Quit taking yourself damn seriously.
Watch the move under my feet. Stranger things.
To see the world and take the thanks, Ernie.